This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This is the Fox News Rundown Extra. I'm Dana Perino. Jeffrey Rosen is a best-selling author and the president and CEO of the National Constitution Center. In his new book, The Pursuit of Happiness, How Classical Writers on Virtue Inspired the Lives of the Founders and Defined America, explores the lives of some of our most influential founders, including Benjamin Franklin, George Washington, and Alexander Hamilton, and what those words, the pursuit of happiness, actually meant to them. We had a great conversation about our nation's founding, our unique history, and how Americans feel about their country today. We made some edits for time and thought you might want to hear the whole thing, especially since there's a lot of great stuff we did not get to include in our original segment. Thanks for listening. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to the weekly Fox News Rundown podcast. You can also find my podcast, Perino on Politics, every Monday by going to foxnewspodcasts.com. Now, here's Jeffrey Rosen on the Fox News Rundown Extra. What propelled you to take on this incredible endeavor of this book?
It was a COVID-era reading project. I just noticed that both Ben Franklin and Thomas Jefferson had offered for their definition of happiness a quotation from a book by Cicero I'd never heard of called The Tusculan Disputations that said, without virtue, happiness cannot be. So I thought, gosh, I should read the Cicero book because it seemed so important. And then I found this amazing reading list that Thomas Jefferson would send out to kids who were going to law school and wanted to know how to be an educated person. And it had on it Cicero and these other works of classical Greek and Roman moral philosophy that I'd never read before. I've had this great liberal arts education, just felt it was a gap that I should fill. And I read them over COVID, and it just changed my understanding of happiness and changed my life.
That's what I think is so amazing when you said that it changed your life. And I want to get to that in just a little bit. But let's talk to people about, you know, what you do for a living is pretty incredible. And we're coming up on the 250th anniversary of our Constitution. And so there's going to be a lot more people, I think, focused on it. And maybe, again, another learning opportunity, not just COVID, of course, but the Constitution anniversary itself. Tell people about the National Constitution Center, what you try to do there.
It's this amazing national treasure. It was created by Congress during the bicentennial of the Constitution to be the only nonpartisan constitutional education institution in America. And it's got an incredible website with an interactive constitution that's gotten about 80 million hits since we launched. And it's now the most Googled constitution in the world. And that brings together conservative, libertarian, and liberal thinkers, scholars, public officials, to talk about every aspect of the Constitution. So you can click on any clause and find leading people like Justice Amy Coney Barrett and Neil Katyal with agreeing and disagreeing about the Constitution. We've got a weekly podcast, We the People, that talks about constitutional issues with liberals and conservatives. This amazing Constitution 101 class for learners of all ages, everything you need to know about the Constitution. A new partnership with Khan Academy to bring that class to hundreds of thousands of high school kids. And then there's the amazing physical National Constitution Center in Philly. If you're in Philly, come to Independence Hall, the most constitutionally sacred place in America, and come to the NCC and see rare copies of the Constitution, theater for kids, interactive exhibits. It's just constitutional heaven.
So I think that one of the things that led me to want to interview you is I listened to you on another podcast, on Andrew Sullivan's podcast, and I feel like I had a decent education. It was fine. It was public school in Colorado. It was fine. And then when I got to Capitol Hill, and then when it worked at the White House, I really had to buckle down and read many more things that I had never even thought of. I had heard of Cicero. I had heard of Aristotle. Like, I had, of course, knew sort of vaguely about them, but I never knew that their writings were the foundation that led to what our founders decided for our nation. And I feel intimidated by your book, to be honest. And tell me why I shouldn't be, or how I should even begin.
Well, you shouldn't begin to feel intimidated because I didn't know that these documents were the foundation of the founding either. And it's my job to know. And I've had this incredible liberal arts education. I've studied politics, history, philosophy, all great teachers at great universities. I didn't know about these books because they've fallen out of the curriculum. And what's so amazing is they used to be core to what every educated American should know, not only in the founding generation, but during the Civil War, when people like Frederick Douglass and Abraham Lincoln would read it in these books like The Columbian Orator and The McGuffey Reader. It was in New York City public schools up to around the time my mom graduated in 1950. And then it just fell out. And why it fell out is really an interesting question. Basically, our understanding of happiness totally changed during the 1960s from being good to feeling good, from the pursuit of virtue to the pursuit of immediate pleasure. And along with that huge shift in pop culture, there was a big change in the curriculum. And that's why we've lost these books. But for me, the whole project was both it was a great lesson in humility about how much more I have to learn, and also a reminder of the radically empowering project of reading primary text, and the fact that all these books are now online and all of us can just find them if we take the time to read them is an incredibly powerful message.
Tell me a little bit about I'm going to ask you a couple of specifics. So in Cicero's paper that you talked about, the Tusculan Disputations, like, what was that about? How did that lead to anything that Jefferson wanted to include?
You know, it's so incredible how central it was. This was Cicero's manual on grief and how to deal with great tragedy. And his daughter Tullia had just died. He'd just been exiled from Roman politics. He goes to his villa in Tusculan and he writes this book saying that the way to deal with grief is to achieve tranquility of mind, to use your powers of reason to master your turbulent passions or emotions so you can achieve that tranquility of mind and greatness of soul that defines virtue, which defines happiness. And Jefferson copies it out when his dad dies when he's 14 years old. And then whenever anyone asks him what's the meaning of happiness later in life, he sends it to them. What's so important about the Cicero book is it inspires John Quincy Adams, who reads it in the White House after after his son commits suicide, and he uses it to inspire him to be a great abolitionist. It's the core definition that John Adams also comes to late in life. It's absolutely central. And the basic idea, the takeaway, is that happiness is self-mastery, self-improvement, character improvement, being your best self so that you can use your talents to the best of your ability and serve others.
It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
In the other interview I heard you do, I was taken with the Seneca essays, but there's a similar theme, right?
Completely. Seneca's great on time. He says, time is a gift repaid by industry, by squandering it. What fools these mortals be. And that Shakespeare famously quoted that line in Midsummer Night's Dream. But reading Cicero completely changed the founder's conception of time, and it changed my conception of time too. George Washington loved Seneca. He's always making schedules. He loved clocks, which are all over at Mount Vernon, has his meals at the same time of day, and is very attentive to time. Jefferson has his reading schedule and prescribes how long you've got to read each day, what you have to read, and the time of day you should read it. And all of this emphasis on time and schedules inspired me to take up this Jeffersonian schedule of getting up early, reading for 2 hours, watching the sunrise, writing these crazy sonnets, which I never expected to do. But it's all because the wisdom teaches you the only thing you can control is time. You can't control what other people do or what they think of you or what their reactions to. And it's so precious to use every moment of the day mindfully so you can be industrious and productive and achieve your potential.
I thought I was the only one obsessed with time. In college, I was on the speech and debate team, and my topic was time and how it's just different for everyone. And now, as I've gotten older and I've had a chance to travel through Europe and also to read some texts, I realize, humans have been dealing with the issue of time and what it means and how to use it. And I just was listening to an essay by Mary Laura Philpott, who wrote about how she gets mad at time sometimes. She has a love-hate relationship. She loves the time that she has, but she's mad that she doesn't have more of it. And she's always afraid she'll be cheated by time. And I realize, what, you know, even Salvador Dali, of course, he's got time on his mind if you think about that famous painting. So that actually makes me feel a little bit more connected to what you're talking about here.
You're completely connected. That's so great that you had that debate in college. And it's kind of the takeaway of the ancient wisdom is being mindful about time and using every moment as mindfully as possible. My takeaway from the whole project is I'm continuing to try to get up early, try to watch the sunrise, which I caught this morning, actually, which is the day of the solar eclipse. And then in the morning, this is really important for me. I have this rule. I'm not allowed to browse or surf. I have to do something creative, either read books, read actual books, or write a poem. Or I've started writing songs, believe it or not, which I never expected to be doing. But just that idea that early in the morning, it's just a precious time. And if you squander it, then you can't get it back. And trying to use it in this focused, creative way has been really empowering for me.
The last thing I wanted to ask you about in terms of particulars before I ask you some final bigger picture questions is about Hume's essays. And you say that he used the phrase pursuit of happiness twice. And is that where we sort of trace back to how we think about our founding now?
So glad you picked up on that. Hume uses it twice. What's really important is that all of the sources that I read use the phrase the pursuit of happiness. With electronic word searches, you can just quickly check it. And the Christian thinkers, the civic Republican thinkers, Blackstone on law, the phrase is everywhere in the founding era. So it wasn't something unique either to Jefferson or Hume. But Hume is really significant. As you say, the founders quoted Hume's essays so often that some people thought they committed them to memory. And Hume's big idea is that it's possible to have a republic in a large territory with a system of representation, and that that'll prevent mobs from forming. And that's the centerpiece of James Madison's definition of faction in the Federalist Papers. He gets it from Hume. But the happiness part is that Hume says that personal self-government is necessary for political self-government. And unless we achieve calm, tranquility, and balance in the constitutions of our minds, we won't achieve that in the constitution of the state. And that central connection between private and public virtue is central to the founders.
Have you been following the reemergence of these classical education schools?
Yes, it's inspiring to see all of these kids rediscovering primary sources and their homeschools and their classical academies. The scholar Angela Parham at UVA has found that these classical academies were central to the Black intellectual tradition throughout history, and she's doing some great work there. There's a hunger for going back to first principles and rediscovering primary texts, and it's really inspiring.
It's pretty exciting. I have a young friend who is pregnant with her first baby, and last week there was an article about classical education schools, and going to be a new one in northern New Jersey. And she was interested because, you know, looking forward, there's just some really great, I think, information and data coming out about those schools. I was very good friends with the late Charles Krauthammer. And he used to recommend to people that they always study and read history because it helps you understand the present. And so for people who are feeling like the country is so divided and there's so many problems and they're feeling discomfort or unease about where we are in America, can reading your book that references these texts help people feel more confident about where we are today?
The answer is yes. First of all, it's so great that you were friends with Charles Krauthammer. I had the honor of working with him at the New Republic when I started
off as
a kid, which Andrew Sullivan hired me for my first job. It was an amazing time. And Charles Krauthammer's lesson that history can teach us to avoid the errors of the past and also can give us hope for the future is correct. Of course, we don't know what's going to happen in America and democracy or around the world, and any of our ability to affect world events is limited. But what's so inspiring about it is we can always go back to our own resources. And regardless of what happens in the rest of the world, by mastering ourselves, improving ourselves, using time well, reading deeply, we can achieve our potential, contribute as best we can to the broader purpose. Every day is a new day. And it's a great empowering message of self-reliance, which is the core of the American idea embodied in the Declaration of Independence. And we're about to approach America's 250. And it's so important in these divided times that although we disagree about politics, we embrace the principles of the Declaration: equality, liberty, and government by consent, and above all, self-reliance. And we can do that with the inspiration of the classic texts and the examples of the great founders who read them.
And you're as inspiring today as you are as in the other interview I listened to. Thank you so much for doing this. My exit question for you is, you referenced that this project and writing this book has changed your life. Can you tell us how?
It's changed the way I use my time. And as I said, every morning now, and this is the crucial thing that I want to offer to readers and listeners, no browsing. You know, it's so tempting to just, you think, I'm just reading the newspaper and stuff. But Jefferson said, I've set aside newspapers for Tacitus, the Roman historian, and I feel much better. I found that just by keeping those sacred early morning hours for deep reading, for creative work, I feel like I'm a better person and, in fact, am happier as well.
When you have your next song that you're ready to reveal, will you come back?
We'll spare everyone for a while, but I did have a solar eclipse song this morning. So when it's ready for prime time, I'll share it.
Jeff Rosen, I am no longer intimidated. I'm going to dive in, and I'm going to take it slow and absorb it all and the lessons that you have in here. Thank you for writing the book, and thanks for being with us today.
Thank you so much. It was great to talk with you.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. And now, stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen ad-free on Fox News Podcasts Plus on Apple Podcasts. And Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on Amazon Music. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com. From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey there, it's me, Kennedy. Make sure to check out my podcast, Kennedy Saves the World. It is 5 days a week, every week. Download and listen at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Janice Dean, Fox News senior meteorologist. Be sure to subscribe to the Janice Dean podcast at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to spread the sunshine.